Welcome to Fantastic Females, our adventure to finding the mythical island of freedom together. I'm Kalyani.
And I'm Rupali. We are your next door finance experts sharing our experiences in the world of money and energetics.
Hi everyone, welcome to Fantastic Females. Today we've got an amazing guest with us. We love sharing stories of fellow female business owners, and we've got Jillian here from Happy Tribe. She's in fact our neighbor at a neighbor of Prana House in Motor City, and that's how I met her. But I know my partner and friend absolutely is crazy over Happy Tribe, and so she was very excited that we're having you on the podcast. So welcome, Jillian.
Thank you.
So I think what we would love to hear is, you know, how has your journey been on Happy Tribe? What made you kind of embark on this? And, you know, it's always interesting to hear the story of these founders of businesses, because it's always so unique. So anything you'd like to share would be amazing.
So this is probably quite a unique startup concept. So I moved from the UK with a master's and postgraduate degree in child protection and drug and alcohol studies. And I worked as an expert in child protection. And wow. moving to Dubai, which I adore, my skills are not recognized or required here. And as a result, I spent the first year in Dubai very happily settling my three daughters into school and into a routine, and always nagging in the back of my mind, I knew that I was missing, I as a person in my own right. And so I decided to start a business, which was initially meant to be something very part-time and very, very flexible and based from home. And last summer, I had the space and time and luxury to let my creativity grow. And with that in mind, I started a business called The Happy Tribe. The name came from, I always refer to my three daughters as, if my tribe are happy, then I'm good. So that's why we're called the Happy Tribe. And the Happy Tribe is an ethos that is within my family, within my business. It's our entire identity. It's completely transparent. So if my family aren't happy, and if the people that work for me are not happy, then there's something wrong. So We remain at the very core of the Happy Tribe. When we came back and started last September, my husband allowed me to borrow some warehouse space, and with Simone and Kennedy and Jess. So Simone and Kennedy are the two guys that work for me, the embroiderist and the tailor. The four of us basically became a very solid unit, and we worked there and we worked tirelessly. And that is how the Happy Tribe started, in borrowed warehouse space with a website that was as good as we could afford to do, with socials that was as much as we could commit in terms of time, and very little idea of what running a business in Dubai would entail.
Very interesting. So you just started last year. I wasn't aware of that as well. It feels like I've seen Happy Tribe for a couple of years. Maybe the brand recall is so high, which is such a good thing to have, that I feel like it's an established business running since years. So that's a surprise even to me.
Yeah, we went live on October the 7th last year.
Wow. Same age as Prana House. Yeah. Live on 1st of October.
Yeah.
Exactly the same age. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. I love the ethos about Happy Tribe and where that comes from. So thank you very much for sharing that. Anything that you'd like to kind of bring up in terms of the mindset before getting into the business? Were you sitting on the fence for a long time? Were you analyzing it a lot? Were you researching it a lot? Or was it easy for you to get started?
The analyzing is always the conflict between being a mother and wanting to work.
Yes.
That was the analyzing that I did. The research part, I intuitively felt it was a good business idea. I had three children in 3 years, and everything in my house has to be personalized, as in labels. So that all, because it's all girls, So everything, we have to know who belongs to what, where everything goes, and I have to run in an organized fashion. That came from living between three countries because my husband traveled a lot. So it felt intuitively like it was necessary in my life, and I knew I was not the only person. The analysis part is I wish that I had sat down with somebody and asked them, what's it actually like? You know, what do you need to run a business in Dubai? Because it's very unique. I mean, my experience is not running a business. That is most definitely, I've got friends and my husband, that's their experience. But I wish I'd sat down and asked somebody what it was like and what I needed to know.
Wow. So you might be the person now for people who are listening to the podcast, giving them that insight today.
Yes, I think it's amazing because when you said everything had to be labeled, I grew up in a joint family in South Africa. So we were five girls and three boys in the house. And so everything was labeled because your jeans would go missing and you wouldn't know where it went until it resurfaced a couple of months later. I love that. And I think it's amazing that, you know, you mentioned what your brand stands for and what your company stands for, what your team stands for. And I think you can see through and through, you know, through your products, through your approach, just the energy next door. Like there's always stuff happening and it's amazing. It's actually nice to see how something can grow and everyone is so invested in it.
Yes.
They are kind of a part of it.
They're so valued. Kennedy and Simone have got unique skill sets and I am incredibly proud of them. Without them, we would not be able to operate, but also their commitment. They are so committed to us and we are so committed to them. We've had a new office manager and she's been with us now for about 3 months and she's fabulous. And again, it is our family. You know, that is my second family and you have to roll with my family and she's right in amongst it as well. Wow. And I love the energy that they give to each other. Okay. Even when they're busy and they're tired and there's so much going on, they give the extra mile. Wow, and that's recognized amazing. In so many ways.
Amazing. We'll get to establishing a culture for a small organization maybe a little later. But before that, Gillian, we wanted to know, you've scaled up from the borrowed warehouse space to a full-fledged studio. We've seen a lot of positive marketing around people being able to come in, choose their items, choose the customization, and kind of walk away with something quite unique. How did all of that happen? Again, we're talking about a span of about 8-9 months, which is crazy. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. That was, for me, the challenging part because it was at that time that I needed investment, that I had to drop the imposter syndrome that trails along. And
we know that voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had to drop that and think, how much do I believe in this? Mm. And through that had to come a conversation, which I did have with my husband about, I am fully committed to this. And he could see that. And I worked nonstop. And what I would say is that it was 24/7 and it was all consuming. So to get it to where it is today is testament to hours and hours and hours of blood, sweat and tears. All of it.
Of course.
And so the financial investment was big because we took on a lease and we did that for 2 years. We made renovations, obviously, to the studio, as we've had very humorous discussions around.
Yes.
And I love that people can walk in and enjoy the experience of something that's going to be so unique to them, because it's something that is very personal to them and they should be able to enjoy doing that.
Absolutely.
And again, the transparency of people being able to see where it's made and how it's made, and the care and the attention that's given. I'm so proud of that. I'm so proud that people can walk in and see how hard everybody in the Happy Tribe works. And then equally, they walk away with something that they love.
Yeah.
And it's very satisfying for Kennedy and Simone to see the joy that what they do brings to people. If people message us through Instagram or through message, we screenshot that and we share that into our group and we credit them and we tell them it was great customer service or that person loved coming in or they love their product or it's a child opening their birthday present.
Yes.
They have that constant feedback as well, which is really important.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. We went in there. I was just mentioning to Gillian before we started recording that the three of us from Prana House went into our space because for something completely not related to the products of Happy Tribe, might I add. But what the staff witnessed was three adults that became children in a chocolate shop. And so we were all like, oh no, where's this one? Oh, but there's this pink one. Oh, but there's this white one. And the staff kind of went in and there was a photo shoot happening, which we interrupted. So sorry for that. But the lady was like, no, go for it. And it was quite a fun experience. Yeah. And Lisa's lovely, right?
Yeah.
So,
that's
the experience that you can give through your shop, right? And it's all about emotion in the end of the day. It's all about the energy of what you do. Yes. Like you mentioned, you know, the minute you walk through your doors, I can sense that energy where everyone is just, they all feel like they belong.
Yes,
and
they do.
And that's something you have to work. It's easy, but you have to work very hard to maintain that because people are people and we are also people that are going through challenges. And so what were your challenges in terms of getting to that space of having everyone that invested in the whole like story, the whole, you know, experience?
Yeah, I think from the very beginning when we were purchasing the machines, okay, so the quality of the machines was exceptionally important to us. And we took Simone and Kennedy with us. And for us, when Jess, Kennedy, Simone and I discussed that, that's one of the happiest days of the start of our journey. And we took them with us and we spent a whole day and we were toys in picking machinery, trying things. They got McDonald's in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And we loved that day. And the four of us made that foundation and that connection right there and then.
Wow.
The next part of the connection, as everybody in Dubai knows, that getting visas and establishing members of staff is not always easy.
Yeah.
And it's something that now I never take for granted now, because we have had to fight very hard to get the visas in place for Simone and Kennedy. And it makes me so happy that we've done that, that they are here. Because I know their family stories back home.
Yeah.
I know how someone's children are, and I get to see the benefit and the joy that he can bring to his family, that he will go home in January, that, you know, that's been wonderful.
Wow, that's amazing. It gives me goosebumps.
Yeah. So those are the things that, you know, for me, when we were drawing up contracts, that, you know, many people said, oh, we don't need to add this, we don't need to add that. I am adding these things because that is value. Health insurance, things like that, that really elevates people's sense of themselves is extremely important to me. And that's come from my professional training, my previous work experience, that I know what brings people alive and what connects people, like that human connection. So they will know just as much if I'm having a bad day as I will know if they're having a bad day.
Mm.
We know each other. My children know them.
Mm.
They've been in my home. We have a very, very strong shared connection.
Well, that's wonderful. Can you give us maybe your top three tips of what you do as actions to create this culture? Because both Rupali and I have small businesses. We don't work, maybe Rupali works a little more with a local team. My connections are more abroad and they're more virtual. But we'd love to have your tips then for anyone who's got a small business and wants to create that culture of having invested employees. Then if you have any tips to share, please do.
I think the very first one is be your absolute authentic self. From the very beginning, be you, because it is a long, arduous journey.
Yes.
So don't pretend to be something you're not. Don't offer something that you cannot deliver. Be you from the very beginning, truly authentic. Because not only will that hold you in good stead with your immediate relationships, but that word of mouth carries a long way also.
Yes.
So people know and trust that person that they are presented with from their first meeting. And the second thing to do is if you really, really believe in your business and you really think it's a great idea, go find other women and ask. Mm. Ask for help. Make the phone call, send the message, ask for a coffee, because I have never been in a country where the energy is so infectious and people have been so willing to help.
Yeah.
And if it had not been for the people that I had met, I would not be sitting with the business that I have today.
Yeah.
And I will never forget every single person that has helped me and supported me. I always, always, always remember that.
Oh, that's really lovely. I love that as we're talking about moving into your studio space, etc. I love that in the age of everything going virtual, online, artificial intelligence, there's still so much joy that comes out of physical space. And we all feel that, right? You can't feel the energy of a business on an online store. You can, I suppose, to a certain extent, but it's nowhere near the same as walking into the space where, you know, you can just feel the energy. So that's been really well done. And we encourage all our listeners to check their business out on Instagram as well as their physical studio in Motor City. We'd probably want to know a little more about, once again, going into more financial kind of side of things. Did you have to look for investors then, Gillian, if you're comfortable about sharing more details? Because we have a large group of business owners who might be looking at getting funded. There are organized and not very formal channels of doing this. So what helped you in the process if you went through that, something like that?
So in terms of the funding to start the business, so as a woman in the way that I was brought up to work, have a part-time job from a very young age, and I saved. So I saved from when I started working right up until last year at the grand old age of 44, and I had saved every month of my life. And I made the decision to put all of that money into the business to start it up because I felt that that money would not affect anything within my family.
Yeah.
And that was the start of it. However, in hindsight, I did not realize the money that would be needed to actually create the journey that I have gone on through the year.
Yeah.
So I would encourage anybody to create a business plan, something that I could not do myself because it's all up here.
Mm. Yeah.
So find that person, even if it's a friend, that you can write down verbally what you envisage your business from that very day that you start to a year from now, and then mark it into four. And these are the four key points of your transitions as your business moves along. Yeah. And along these transitions, there will be points where you will need money and you need to consider, will your revenue cover it or will you need investment?
Yes.
And if you need investment, do you want that to come from your husband or within your family? Or do you feel that that can come from collaboration and business partnerships? And at those crossroads, you have to make considerations. So my decision was that I would create this as part of a family business and to include my daughters in it. So for instance, if they do any work for me, they are paid in pocket money.
Mm.
I found it extremely difficult to have a discussion with my husband about money for the business. I found it very difficult to acknowledge the fact that for many, many years, I had been a fully financially independent woman.
Yeah.
Who then became a mother, who then had maternity leave, who did not return to work full time, who then returned to work pregnant and then returned to work pregnant again. And felt a great sense of almost shame about that, that I was an employee within an organization and I was less than.
Yeah.
And I couldn't contribute enough and I wasn't contributing as much as other people. So my exit from the workplace were those feelings and that sat quite heavily with me. So to then go and ask for investment, I found that very difficult. Yeah. I should say that my husband was fully supportive, but wanted a business plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is why I know the importance of a business plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When presented with the business plan, things then did fall into place. The other thing then is that as I took on another member of staff or when I acquired the services of an accountant, which I outsourced, it allowed me to become more accountable financially.
Yeah.
And I became more regulated in how I was managing the business. And I recognized the fact that I had to step up to run the business and not run in the business.
Yes.
Because I was very much of the belief that there's nothing that I will ask somebody else to do that I won't do myself. Equally, I had to step up so that I could look over and bring the business on.
Yeah. That requires a lot of growth in terms of mindset,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Because to be able to work on the business and not kind of, because you started it from the bottom up. Mm-hmm. So you started it doing most of everything yourself,
yes.
right?
Everything.
And then at the when the point comes at which you have to take a step back, it's quite a transition.
Yes.
Right? And so it's amazing that I think we've covered this with other businesses that we've spoken to, and in terms of the discussion of, oh my goodness, I'm so passionate about my product, I'm so passionate about my idea, all these ideas, that's where it kind of starts.
Yes.
But to make sure that it goes on,
yes,
you need a business plan.
Yes.
And in Dubai, just for anyone listening out there, if you'd like to open a business bank account, they ask for a business plan, right?
Yes.
And so that's one of the checklist items, but I'd encourage everyone to have a live business plan.
Yes.
Where you kind of have your check-in process on the way, because a lot changes, you may not know a lot, you know, at the outset, but you want to kind of then make sure you're still on top of it. That's the less fun but yet
yes.
exciting part. It's still exciting because
yes.
if you're like
yeah.
looking ahead and saying, wow, there's so much potential.
Yes.
But it's not fun to put that time aside
no.
from the doing. So
yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
We've also recently recorded an episode with Jay Shripala, who does exactly this, right? So we had a detailed conversation about putting business plans together. And I love how you said that there was some hesitation. And then once you had the business plan, things started falling in place. Because I think the business plan kind of takes it from being a hobby or a side thing that could or could not do well to making it a very serious kind of consideration, which, like you said, you're fully committed to. And I love the part where you shared about your mindset as you left the workspace, because I think that is so key. I didn't have exactly that. I left my corporate job with feeling a lot of resentment towards having a toxic career while being quite attached to my salary. So to my first business, I brought pressure of replacing the salary while not having any, let's say, toxicity or binding time schedules. Well, I attracted exactly what I didn't want. Sometimes, you know, you kind of don't finish your learnings, and then that's where the growth happens. You know that this is happening for a reason, and you know how to break the pattern and move ahead. So I love that aspect. And we've spoken also about, you know, money and relationships and how it can sometimes be very difficult to navigate that in a partnership, in a marriage.
Yes.
And that's a very raw and real aspect of kind of managing businesses
yes.
that you brought up as well. So I feel like that itself can be a podcast maybe for another
yes.
day.
Yes.
This brings us to the end of part one. Stay tuned and join us next week, where Jillian from Happy Tribe continues to spill the beans.
So please share this podcast, leave your reviews, your comments to support us on our journey. We are so passionate about making your lives more abundant with this information.
None of the information provided is financial advice, and Fantastic Females is not a financial advisor. The information provided is educational only. It is general in nature and does not take into account your personal circumstances. Please use your own due diligence before making any financial or investment decisions.